Today I want to talk a little bit about just living by faith and not by fear. I really began to think about this some last night, particularly as in my role as a bishop and even beyond that as an archbishop and some of the friends I have and who are in the ministry. When you're a bishop, you're involved a lot with other clergy. And I know that it's easy for in the situation like we're in, to give in to fear, because there's a lot of unknown. A lot of the churches that I oversee, that other bishops that I know that oversee, they oversee some small churches. And there's the concern that if we have to sort of be shut down for several months, that some of the churches won't survive financially. You know, for one, I trust that people will go out of their way to continue to be givers, because as you may have heard me say before, I think two things that's really important during this time, sort of one of those practical things that we do is that in this time where it's economically, they're constantly talking about how bad the economy is. And as Christians, we believe that God, we can move in God's miraculous plan of economy. And the way we do that to keep God's wealth in circulation in our own lives is through giving. And so I'm not just talking about tithing to your church. That's certainly part of it. But there's three kinds of giving. There's the offerings, which is sort of a worship giving that beyond your tithe. And there's the alms, which I think in some ways is most important to God, which is giving to those who are in need or who are poor. So I would say that for during this season, it's really important that you continue to give to the poor. Ask God to show you where to give. If you've been giving to ministries, then you need to keep doing that. And if you're tithers, then you need to keep being that. And if you've not been, you need to jump into that. Because God, it's better to have 90% of your income that's supernaturally blessed by God than 100% that's not. And remember that tithe is first fruit. So we don't we don't give the last 10%. If we have enough left over, we always give the first 10%, because then it's an act of faith. Then we're trusting God with the rest, that he'll bless, and God will do supernatural stuff. I believe a lot of people are going to discover that during this time. So anyway, this wasn't about giving. The other thing was communion. Make sure you take Eucharist. It really strengthens your body. Take advantage of that opportunity. There are creative ways that people are doing that so you can honor the social distancing thing. I just wanted to talk a little bit about just faith and not living in fear, because I know some of the clergy can give in to fear that what's going to happen. Will everybody come back to church when this is done? Will giving happen so that people, the churches won't crash and burn? And here's the thing, is that I think it's so important. This isn't just for clergy, but I'm speaking to, you might want to pass this on to someone who's a clergy. This is for all of us, is that whatever we do in the Lord, we're often confronted with decisions that we make daily. To either do something or not do something. And one of the things I tell people, and we talk about even in my leadership council here at CTK, is that whatever we do, if we do this, then let's do it by faith. If we don't do it, let's not do it by faith. But don't do anything by fear, in fear. Don't decide not to do something because of fear, and don't decide to do something because of fear. It says in Mark 5:36, Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." And the language there is actually stop being afraid, only believe. And it's written as a command, actually, because Jesus knows how important that is. As we've mentioned before, the antithesis of faith is fear. And fear will just rob us all the time of walking in faith. And, you know, for me, and we've shared this, that for me, I'm in union with Christ. And it's according to Galatians 2:20, then the King James Version, which is really the accurate translation there, we live by faith, not just in the Son of God, but we live by the faith of the Son of God. And so my faith is actually surrendering to and saying yes to his faith about things. So if I face a situation, let's just say I'm praying for someone. I remember one time in Brazil, we were going to pray for people, our team was, and we had seen thousands of people get healed. And we were going to go pray again, and we were told there were a number of blind people. And I remember how intimidated I felt about that. I didn't say anything to the team because I didn't want them to get into fear. But the truth is, whether a person's blind or they have a common cold, Jesus has faith for either one of them. And I'm in union with him. And so the bottom line came for me was, did Jesus have less faith to pray for a blind person, for me to pray for a blind person, to be able to heal them through me as if I were praying for somebody with a headache? And the real issue is we live by the faith of the Son of God. What does Jesus believe about this? You know, what does he think? What does he feel about this? What does he believe? And faith never starts with what you believe. Faith always starts with what he believes. And then are simply coming to agreement with what he believes. So in that sense, we live by the faith of the Son of God. And so whatever decision you might make, or if in the midst of this whole coronavirus thing, what's important isn't what you see and the conclusions that you come to that seem to add up, that results in fear. That's never God. What does Jesus feel about this particular situation that's evolving in your life? Again, if you're a minister, if you're a clergy, what is Jesus saying about your church? Is Jesus big enough to keep this thing going? You know, and you say, yeah, but Bishop, we can't just be impractical. There are things that we do. Yeah. You know, if you're a pastor, you call people up, you text them, you do what I'm doing. There are ways, but there are limits. We need to honor what the government's saying, trust God. And that's an act of faith. I'm trusting that God's speaking through them right now. And even though they're restricting, I'm going to honor that because I believe it's not out of fear. It's out of faith. You understand? There's a difference. And so it's just really important that we don't give in to fear, that whatever you do, the just live by faith. Whatever you do it by faith, not by fear. Or whatever you don't do it, but don't do it by faith, not by fear. The scripture says that which is not of faith, Romans 14:23, is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so for us as believers, everything we do by faith. And if you want to know what faith is in the situation, what does Jesus believe about it? And if whatever Jesus believes about it, and you're in union with him, to simply come into agreement, rest in what he believes about it. And that's what it means to walk in faith. I wanted to read this little thing I wrote down. This is by a pastor named Robert Capon. I think I pronounced his name right. But he said this about the ministry. He said, if you can't figure out a way of doing it for fun, do yourself and everybody else a favor and don't do it. Now, hear me read that to you again. If you can't figure out a way of doing it for fun, that's the ministry. Do yourself and everybody else a favor and don't do it. Now, are there hard things when you're in the ministry? Yeah, they're heartbreaking things. There's heartbreaking things just living in this fallen world, right? You know, we see heartbreaking things going on all around us. But I just have to say to you that I'm in union with a joyful Jesus. And I'm called to experience joy unspeakable, full of glory. And I'm living with the same unknowns everybody is in terms of what I do as a pastor, as a bishop. I don't know what everything's going to look like when all this is said and done. I don't know how this is all going to work, but I know Jesus is not afraid. And therefore, I can't be afraid. Am I going to be in agreement with him? Or am I going to say, Lord Jesus, you don't get it. You should really be afraid here because I'm afraid. And so you need to come in line with me and be afraid. No, I want to come in line with him. There's always the healthiest thing to do. And that's not just for clergy, but I really felt particularly that I wanted to get that word out for clergy, not just through this coronavirus thing, but just in general. If the ministry has become just this drudgery, miserable thing, that all you're worrying about is who's showing up, counting the numbers, you know, whether the money's coming in, you know, whatever, this person is, whatever, then that's horrible. And I don't care if I was a banker or a minister or a grave digger, if that's what God's called me to be, I want to have in his presence, scripture says, there is fullness of joy. And I carry his presence everywhere I go, whether it's a grave digger or a banker or a pastor. And therefore, I can know the joy of his presence that he carries. He walks in perpetual joy. And I can know that because I'm in union with him. And so I love this statement. If you can't, and so I would say this not just about ministry, whatever it is you're doing in life, you know, if you can't enjoy doing what you're doing because of him, It's his will, so there should be joy. It says in Psalm 40, verse 8, about, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. If you aren't delighting in doing what God's will is for your life, whether it's being in the ministry or working in a bank or being a school teacher or whatever, or being a stay-home mom or dad, if you can't find joy in that, if you can't find delight in that, then you're really not yielded. You're just simply doing God's will, dragging your feet. And I love what he says here. If you can't figure out a way of doing it for fun, do yourself and everybody else a favor and don't. Amen. So that may be a good word for your pastor or your priest, your rector or whatever, or just your husband or your wife or whatever it is they do. And this isn't a season for fretting. There's a season for wisdom. It's a season for praying, but it's not a season for fretting. Well, God's called us to live by faith, not by fretting or fear. Again, that which is not of faith is sin. And sin brings a lot of destruction. Take care. I love you.